Have no doubt. Perhaps tears will turn this person back to us. Perhaps. And I think, I believe it. You know what I'm saying? I believe tears will turn this person's heart. You know why? You know that story? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob wrestling. And Hosea tells, towards daybreak, when this angel was leaving, Jacob held his feet and said, with tears, "Don't leave me. Don't leave me." And he turns and says, "I'll bless you." That's the goodness. The remnant will be protected in this country. That I am convinced. But the country is in trouble. The country is in trouble. The limitation of Israel, the two temples and the coming temple. That's what I want to explain a little bit carefully. The limitation of the temple. Who built? I don't think you and I are going to be greater than David. Or Solomon. Oh, perhaps we have a better chance than Solomon, I think. You know what I'm saying? You know, first of all, don't multiply wives. Even if you multiply wife, I mean, don't allow her to build a temple. Even if you allow her to build a temple, don't make it side by side to the temple of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even if you make it side by side, when you become old, don't go with her to worship her God. And this was the wisest man. He didn't go to Yale. He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to Princeton. And had he gone to those places, I'm pretty sure 2 days after his new wife came, he would have gone and worshipped her God. Now, I'm not impressed by Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, unless you want to get a good job. The two temples tell us one thing. God is serious about his redemptive plan. And the third temple is coming. The third temple is coming. Now, how many of you did the other assignment? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How many of you read that? You read that? What is the difference between the three narratives? Important. You have to do your assignment. If you're going to enjoy the time with me in the scriptures, you have to do your assignments. Because my goal is not to do the preaching the way you have heard it in America. I have no interest in you understanding the scriptures unless you do your homework. Man, I am struggling to be a Christian in America. I'm telling you the truth. It's one of the easiest countries to practice Christianity. It is one of the only countries that still cares for righteousness in some form. Some form. And in our country, the hour is getting dark. So you have to do your homework. Okay. Why? What is the important thing? Let's have some interaction. We're going to have some talks. I mean, okay. You tell me. What are the three things? I mean, I asked you to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you can't answer the question because, you know, we shared it. With a couple of people, I did share the answer. If I've talked with you, okay. Oh, you know, the point is, what is important in this explanation? What happened in the temple? The temple is central to understanding how the Holy Spirit works in our heart. The veil has got to be torn. For sure. The work of the Holy Spirit cannot start. See, American Protestant faith is so focused on Christology. From Christology, it's time to grow into pneumatology and from pneumatology to cosmology. Let me explain. It is not the identity of Christ that we are struggling with in America. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what pneumatology is. From that, you need to get to understanding how the cosmos was put together. Second Peter and Jude explains what modern science has found. Let me explain that as well. 4% of matter is visible. 96% of the universe is invisible. 24% of dark energy is the leftover body of whom we call Lucifer. And the man who destroyed Lucifer with his arm is called the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven. Do you know that? What I said, every statement I can prove it to you from the Bible. And yet, the church is toying still with pneumatology. They don't even understand gospel in terms of cosmology. We have a problem. We don't take the scripture seriously. We do not take sin seriously. And therefore, our nation is perishing. And there is no fire. There is no warning. And God is saying, this is the end of the story. Pray. 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 Lord, help us. Help us. Our ignorance of the Bible. Why did darkness come for 3 hours in the land? Because the 9th judgment on Egypt was done by one of the gods. The 10th judgment. They knew there was a God who comes back from the dead. They knew that. You should read how this woman gives birth to a son and the son is killed and the son comes back. Satan planted this long back to make sure human beings stay confused. It's very interesting. You need to get all this, but I want to only focus on something else. What is the difference between Luke's account of the veil being torn and Matthew and Mark? Help me.
Luke said that it came before and the veil was torn before Jesus died, and Matthew Mark said it was torn after.
Okay. That's one way of looking at it. That's not a bad answer. Any other answers? Any other answers? There was an earthquake, for sure, and only one person records it. Why? That's important. Hold on to that question. Hold on to that. There's still one more thing I want us to understand. I'm sorry. I have to give the answer. I don't like it. Matthew and Mark records it. The veil was torn from the top. It was not done by a human hand. You don't understand. If you don't get this, you won't understand Genesis 15. A promise was made to the father when Abraham was sleeping. By the Son and the Holy Spirit, we will do this redemptive work. You made the promise, we will do it. Their love for one another is great. From that time onwards, the father who was standing behind the veil wants to walk in our midst. You need to understand. That tearing of the veil need to be connected with Luke 15, the prodigal son's father running. He saw his son coming back. He said, I want to embrace you. That's love. You cannot redefine love. You cannot. Two men cannot make a baby and it's no love. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. We are under judgment. We are. See, what I'm saying is this. I don't understand anything of the gospel. But I do know understand a couple of things. Sin is serious. Sin is serious. Judgment is serious. Hell is real. Hell is real. If you die without Jesus, he will put you in hell. Have no doubt about it. I can't understand. I don't know how to explain it to you all. I don't know. That's why I'm crying. See, you need to understand. Even the angels, even these mighty beings, when the earthquake took place, that's very important. Matthew said that. Why? This before and after is also important. Some people who were waiting for redemption, even before the body was given, they got out and they appeared to men in Jerusalem and said, "It is over!" That is the triumph of the book of Matthew. You got to understand, sin is serious. And death is final if you don't die in Christ. There is nothing. I didn't make the laws up. Don't look at me as though I know all the answers. I don't. I'm just wondering at the scriptures. Trust me, I'm a dummy. But you should take the Bible study seriously. Let's talk about the nature of darkness and the sun. This man who died on the cross, these 11 men talked of him as the Son of God. And their theology is going to change. Their theology is going to change because of sin. Let me explain. There is a beautiful side to sin as well. What did I say? Yeah, there is a beautiful side to sin. Provided you're an honest sinner. What do you mean by honest sinner? See, many of us, I mean, I don't know about Jerry. As far as I can tell, he's a godly man. Okay, as far as I can tell, I'm not a godly man. Why do I say this? Because I don't live within him. I do live within me. And I know things that I struggle with. I'm not going to share that with you. Don't look at me. I'm not going to share that with you. But I live with a sinner, and his name is Matthew Zebra. The only thing is that I don't let him out of the cage. I lock and keep, and I gave the key to Jesus Christ. I don't keep the key either. The man who holds the key can manage this lion that lives within me, this fire that burns without control within me. And he says, "Matthew, I made the promise. I will get you to the other side. I believe that man with all my heart. I have only one love." I hope that's true. Right? Only one love. And I love my wife, but compared to the other love, I don't love her enough. I have one king, one Lord, one master. To him I owe my allegiance. And that is whom we need to think about. The sun, the moon, the stars, they all know who this person who died on the cross is. They all know who he is. But the disciples didn't. So the beautiful side of sin, let's talk about that. You know, I love this man because he came to India. Thomas the Apostle. When Jesus appeared to the 10, where was he? He was not there. So what did he tell when he came back? He's like me. I mean, I can understand why some people are really slow, because we were led to faith through Thomas the Apostle. I'm one of them. Unless I put my finger in, what is that? It's called sin. So there is a beautiful side to sin. But the right kind of sin, honest sin. I mean, the guy stewed for 10 days. I mean, that's not fun part. I mean, you know, all your brothers are having a laughter, and he's thinking, "Hey, Jerry is laughing. Why is he laughing?" That's because he's going to Florida. Can you imagine Thomas going through this? These guys are all happy. We touched Jesus. We did this. We did that. And he's thinking, "Man, these guys are nuts." No, you're not nuts. So then Jesus comes and says, "Thomas, you want to do that?" And you know what he says? "My Lord." What he says? "My Lord and my God." So the Son of God theology went by the wayside by that time. Are you with me? That's why 2 Corinthians 5, 10 onwards, when you read this, you realize we do not talk about the fleshly Jesus. That's why his half-brothers did not throw names saying that we are the half-brothers of Jesus. Nothing like that. They all came to the conclusion. This was God living as man in our midst. Imitation of Christ reveals the limitation of man. Three gospels for the ideal man, the Son of Man. Try living up to the standards of the ideal man. In no time, you will become exhausted. Or you will do experiments with truth like Gandhi did. I know there was a recent controversy in America. Will Gandhi go to heaven? You know, Michigan Church, the large church in Michigan. The pastor went through this crisis of faith. And I think no more. The evangelicals don't quote him anymore. It's very interesting. We are so impressed by others' opinion. And we don't look at this book and say that this opinion is final. There is no changing. You know what I'm saying? We have to be very humble about these things. Very humble. I want to make sure there is a time for discussion today. Because this is not about, I'm restating the facts, but I have not, I'm not sure what is it that is important for you for in the continuing of the study. Things that, see, celebrating the fact that Jesus died for me is a totally different, thing from getting drunk on the love of the Father. It's a high. You know what I'm saying? But the high, we like to stay on the high. But it should lead to the mission. You know what I'm saying? The men were supposed to leave Jerusalem. What did they do? In the Acts of Apostles. They were told, when you receive power, go to the ends of the earth. What did they do? They said, we'll stay in Jerusalem. They insisted. So what did God do? Send persecution. So God scattered them. Even then the apostles won't go. Can you imagine that? See, so we have a problem with our understanding. God took Moses up there to tell us the legal side of the contract. You can be sure. You're saved. You don't need to go back and ask the question again and again. Am I saved? You don't need to. Because God has given the legal contract. You're saved. If you're saved, what should I do? I do everything because there is a reward structure on the other side of death. It's called eternity. I don't want to lose what God has kept for me. Now, I have God has given me the capacity to make choices which would lessen, you know what I'm saying, the rewards. If I choose sin, God says, you will lose a lot of benefits. But even that is not sufficient motivation to make you do certain things. That is why the work of the Holy Spirit, pneumatology, should be the focus of the New Testament church. Because American church has not gone through persecution, you don't see the importance of it. For you, the persecution is whether a Mormon sits on in the White House, or an evangelical who confuses evangelicalism. That is all persecution that you know. So I don't blame you. Don't look at me as though I'm blaming you. I am part of you. How do we go forward? That's a question. What is it that you need to understand the scripture saying that this is a war of God's? I didn't say that. By the way, read Exodus 12:12. Okay. I'm going to close. So what is the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament? Answers from you, not from me. What are the key differences? Works versus grace, that's good. That's good. That's a very good answer. Works versus grace. Grace that transforms. And I want to make this very clear. How many of you remember last Sunday, I started with Matthew 5:1. You remember that? I did not go into the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up, and what did the disciples do? They followed. So as they followed, there is a gap between the disciples and the followers. You remember that? I said that. Do you know why I said that? Just to confuse you, I'm sure. Right? That's what I do half the time. That's what I do. I leave things hanging so that you would think, go home, meditate. But like most of us who live in America, we have no time for meditation because, by the way, Notre Dame played last night. How many of you know the results? Because I haven't checked it. Neither do I. No, don't repeat that. Yeah. So my point is that we have all these things going on in our life. We don't have time to meditate. That's why I'm coming back and saying, the gap between the disciples and the followers is already hidden in Exodus 24, in the fact that Joshua, where was he for 40 days? I'm telling all this so that you see this clearly. Unless you make God the number one commitment in your life, which Moses did, Joshua never got into that kabod glory space of God. The area, the space that's called kabod, or the holy of holies, is a dangerous place. And God knew that Joshua is not mature enough to get in there. Moses got in there. You know what the risk for Moses was? 10 times God forgave the people. It is the 11th time when God says, okay, now you'll spend 37 years in the desert. And all of you. See, God also is a very interesting person. And how many chances did Moses get? How many chances did Moses get? One. And what was the mistake that he made? He struck the rock twice. Why? Because the New Testament is built on one principle. The rock will be struck only once. Once for all, the high priest offered himself as a sacrifice. So it's very important when you get into the kabod space of God. Now, I'm coming back. I'm not completing the thought. I want you to understand. Joshua was neither in the camp nor with glory with Moses up there. He was in the space in between. In that space, God puts 11 men who are given the task of transforming the world. And that is who you and I are. And if you don't take God seriously, if there is no passion for the purpose of God, then you have a problem. You are still a follower. You're not a disciple. A disciple keeps the discipline of the master. Are you with me? In America, we don't want disciples. We just want, you know, this is my bad joke with my wife. Yesterday, driving to Indianapolis to counsel a couple who wants to get married. We don't do that. Don't come to us. This is because God has given this as an assignment. If you want marriage counseling, go to Jerry. Go to Florida. My point is this. What we don't get within the church is we don't have a passionate view of God, because most of us live such ordinary lives. There is hardly a difference between a serious Christian and others in America. Are you with me? I'm not saying there are no serious Christians. Don't get me wrong. There are thousands of serious Christians in America. But what is the difference? What is the difference? Our difference is poured out into the political arena. Our energy is, you see, God is saying, no, Matthew, that's not how the kingdom works. You come into the private space, the secret place. Thanks to him. Thanks to him. I think I'm at 10:30. So I should wrap up. So what is the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament? One more time. Excellent point. Excellent point. But here is my question, Brad. In American culture, America generally doesn't understand Lord or slave. Because thousands of people died to make sure this does not happen in American history. Right? So culturally, you become very, you know, nervous to call somebody Lord. So I can understand why an average American Christian does not understand calling Jesus Christ Lord. I can understand that. Because culturally, we believe we are free men. It's great. But why don't we understand the high priest? That's a question for me. Here is a high priest. He offered his own body, his own blood. And yet, we don't take him seriously. That's a question. If you have any answers, insights, I would love to sit down and talk with you. Good answer. Two good answers. Anything else? Third and a fourth. Two more answers, and then I'll close in prayer. Please.
I'm not sure that this goes straight to the point, but I've always been enamored by the concept of duty. But the older I got, there's this second concept that is love.
Yes.
They talk about people that will love so much that they do so much.
Yeah.
Well, growing up, and I memorized lots of poems about duty. It's a great thing for a young fellow to wrap in his life, in the fabric of his life. I heard a quote that set it straight in my head. And it kind of almost... for me, maybe it's Old Testament, New Testament reflection. Duty, the quote goes, duty makes us do things well. It's a great thing. Love makes us do things beautifully.
Just a step up. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That is beautiful. I'll take one more answer. One more answer. No other answers? And I'm going to close in prayer. Father, loving God, Lord, I pray that I, in some form, conveyed the wonder of the scriptures, why Matthew, Mark, and Luke had different perspectives of the same event, same life. Oh, the veil being torn from the top to the bottom. The high priest who gave his own body in sacrifice, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. To come back when all your enemies have been subdued. Help us to know this is a battleground. We bless you. Bless our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hope this was of help. I mean,